One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan with Hibernian Radio. Whoo, we're just riding this coronavirus roller coaster. Thanks so much for sticking with us. And we're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Carol Ann Gallagher, personal injury attorney. Also, want to give a big shout out to Lizzie McNeil's local 150 International Operating Engineers Union, our old pal Jimmy Sweeney. And of course, Sheehy and Son's Funeral Home. They're sticking with us. It's a tough time for small business. And so I hope you all keep listening. Tell all your friends. And speaking of which, an interesting interview right now coming up with Bob Sheehy, the owner of Sheehy and Son Funeral Home. He's been doing this for 45 years. But I was wondering, you know, you see all these obits and you think they can't have a funeral. So I talked to Bob and we got his perspective on what it's like to die during the coronavirus thing. So let's give that a listen. We're here talking to Bob Sheehy from Sheehy and Son's Funeral Home. And we were just discussing the situation with, like my old football coach, Frank Maloney, died last week and couldn't have a wake. And I'm sure he would have had a huge wake, huge funeral. How do you guys deal with something like that?
Right. Well, it's been difficult in a lot of ways for the family, obviously, for losing, you know, someone so close to them, their loved one, and then not be able to have the type of funeral that they're used to having, a wake and a mass or a service in a church. We're required to go along the CDC's requirements of having no more than 10 people at the visitation. So typically what families are doing is they're coming to the funeral home in the morning, staying for about an hour, maybe 2 hours, having the 10 people, if they want more, the 10 that are in the chapel at that time have to leave the building before the other 10 can come in.
Wow.
And that's been a real struggle, obviously, for all these families.
Sure.
And so what we're seeing is you know, they're doing the short service, their wake, and then maybe have some type of religious service at the end of the hour. And then
they can't even have a mass, huh?
No.
Well,
the Archdiocese shut down masses. Oh, it's probably been about at least a month or 3 weeks for sure. And, you know, Frank Maloney was a great guy. You're right, Mike. And, you know, his wife, Kathy, is a Schumacher. They were great Mount Carmel people. And,
sure.
And
a legend.
A legend.
So my vision would, there would have been 500 or 600 people at that wake, minimum.
At least.
You know?
At least. And, you know, so now, you know, we've talked to Kathy and other families, and for them now to decide exactly what they want to do down the road, it's a little difficult because they've been going through so much. But I do see that, you know, people, once this starts to calm down and we get back to some normalcy, they'll have some type of either a memorial mass or maybe even a memorial visitation with a memorial mass.
Now, are you burying these people?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh,
we've had,
okay.
I mean, COVID-19, we've had 6 cases to date.
Of people who died of it? Yeah.
Oh, yes. 4.
Oh,
the 6.
I think you had Pat Hickey's mother. Did you have Pat Hickey's mother?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah,
Virginia.
That's right.
Yes.
94 years old. God bless her. Yeah.
She was a great lady. I'm good friends with Pat and his mom and dad.
Oh, sure. Pat told me she had got the coronavirus at Payless Hospital. Well, I don't want to go into that, but the poor gal. She thought she was having a stroke or something. They brought her to the hospital. Next thing you know, she's got the virus.
Yeah, it can hit anybody at any time, it looks like, you know, especially when you're compromised and you're older.
You know, we're in the middle of researching a film right now about the late Alderman James Kearns, who was Dennis Kearns' grandfather. Dennis is an old friend of mine. And his father was the alderman who introduced the legislation that Chicago should have its own flag. But he had the nickname Weeping Jim Kearns because as a politician, he went to all the wakes. And he was a very good guy who could work the crowd at a wake Weeping Jim Kearns. Now, this is when all they have all these parties, all these memorials, and people will be somewhat more inclined to, you know, have a party in someone's honor. That'd be a field day for somebody like him, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He would have been going to three or four a day.
Sure, exactly. Sure.
Because, you know, at the time when this does go back, like I said, to some normalcy, you're going to have your cases that you normally would deal with, and then you're going to have the ones that you have to schedule that have been waiting for months. And so the churches are going to be overwhelmed, and the cemeteries, something we never thought we'd ever go through. In the 45 years of doing this, I've never seen anything like it.
You know, speaking of which now, I was just getting the OBIT report from my scout, PGOD, on the phone. He said, make sure to say hello to Bobby. I used to deliver the papers there every month, the Irish papers.
We always look forward to seeing him.
He's quite a guy.
Great conversation to see.
Now, 45 years you've been doing this. Obviously, it was your dad and your grandfather started the business. Was it your grandfather or your great-grandfather?
A grandfather. It's been 107 years. It started back in 1913.
Is that Roger Sheehy?
That was Roger. And Roger Sr. And then there was Roger Jr., my Uncle Jack, and then my dad, Bob. And that was the second generation, those three.
Amazing. And it was the first one was over on 79th Street?
Well, 76th and Halsted.
Oh, wow.
And the second one was 82nd and Ashland. And
And
then we went to 107th and Pulaski, and then opened up Burbank.
107th and Pulaski, wasn't that Andy McGann's?
Well, from 1982 on, it was Andy McGann's. But when we built it, 62, it was Sheehy's. Andy was a partner during that period.
That's right. He got started by Roger Sheehy, he told me.
That's correct.
Boy, there was a character, Undertaker, if there ever was one. I wrote a story about him in the Sun-Times years ago, and the opening was, a good Undertaker's handshake can be clairvoyant. Size up your weight and height. He was just a terrific guy.
Makes me he was a character. There's no question.
Absolutely.
Nobody said your father like Andy.
Oh, I know. He did my mother's funeral, and it was just amazing. The keening, he'd be back at the back of the room keening right before they closed the coffin. Well, you have been a stalwart of the Irish American community for, 107 years, you know? So, very proud to be associated with you. And when I'm going, Bob, you got this. You did my brother Willie's wake and funeral and did a fine job. So, and now, are more people dying during this thing, or is it just the same?
You know, it's always hard to tell for sure. I mean, obviously, there are some who are passing away, you know, that didn't have any underlying conditions in their COVID-19. But most of them are elderly who have been sick with some other issue, and then when they caught this, they're being compromised. They don't have a chance. But, you know, I will say, people ask us, when's your busy season?
I was just going to ask you that.
It's always from October to March. And
I really
feel that it's got to do with that's the flu season. And,
you
know, more so not anything related, obviously, to COVID-19, but in a normal year, you know, you get in, the flu gets in, influenza gets into the nursing homes and the hospitals, and the older people can't fight that off. And so we're always busy, what we say, the third quarter, the year you're in to going into the first quarter of the next year is when we're really going to be busy.
See, now, I always thought that season was because people wanted to, if I can just make it to Christmas, you know. But obviously it goes all the way into March.
Yes. Usually the week of Christmas week, for whatever reason, we get quiet. And then right after the first of the year, it starts to get very busy. January is probably our busiest year, the month of the year, January.
Yeah. They got two locations, one in Burbank on 79th Street, right?
Correct.
And then the other one's in Orland Park on 151st Street?
That is correct, yes.
Do you travel back and forth between those every day?
I do. Not every day. No. Actually, because of the volume of our business, the greater volume is in Orland Park, so I spend most of my time out there. As my brother also. We have a staff of about
Jimmy, sure.
People.
He's great.
Yeah. We have about 23 people.
Where do you live?
I live in Orland Park.
Does Jimmy live out there too?
He lives in Oak Lawn, so he'll
he'll
venture down to 79th Street a little bit more than I will, just because of his proximity to 79th Street.
Yeah. Well, please give Jimmy my best.
I will,
He's
Mike.
He's a good guy.
Thank
well,
you.
This has been great. We'll put you in the show this week, right at the top of the show. What we're playing is because of this thing, we can't do the show at Lizzie's. Lizzie's is closed.
Yeah.
So we've been playing best of segments. We have a great segment this week with retired Chicago police officer Tom McKenna, who is also known as the funniest cop in Chicago. So,
it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, and now it is. Now that we got you, pal. All right.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks a million, and we'll be talking to you soon. And hey, don't forget to go to Sheehy's, where all right people go.
Mike, stay healthy and safe. And thanks.
Okay, thanks, pal. God bless you.
Right.
Thanks a million.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Hey, thanks to Bob Sheehy. What a great guy and valuable information there. Now we have a special treat, and which is one of the things we're doing during this whole lockdown, is going into the vault and picking out some of the best interviews we've done over the last 18 months, and boy, there's a lot of them. We had Denny McKenna last week. This week we have his brother Tom, also known as Crash McKenna. Very funny guy. He was also known as Chicago's funniest cop. After that, we'll be doing some new stuff in the show, so stick around. But big thanks to Tom McKenna, and here's his interview right now.
So great to be back. Just got back from a week, well, actually 10 days in Ireland. Oh, my gosh, was it great. Almost too great. I'll tell you about that later in the show. But if you've been following along, this is our 45th week of the new Hibernian radio show. And if you don't know that, we are dedicated to Irish first responders on this show. Why? Because they are the closest things we can find to a modern-day equivalent to the Irish mythological warriors in our midst. So we honor them. We salute them. And they also have some terrific stories, so we're very happy tonight to have Chicago's funniest cop, and that's not just me saying that. That's Tom Dreesen and a bunch of other guys from a contest 3 years ago, Chicago's funniest cop. He's also, his brother has been on the show. He's a 34-year veteran, traffic investigator for the Chicago Police Department, and he's with us tonight, so please welcome Tom McKenna. Tom, thanks for coming on
the
show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I was thrilled to get your telephone call. If it wasn't being here tonight, I would be at home rearranging my sock drawer. But I know that seeing Hooli around, being involved in the Irish-American community. I play with the Shannon Rovers.
Oh, that's right.
Pipe band.
Yeah.
We cross in a lot of different events. I remember the last time I saw Hooli, he was speaking to a bunch of his friends. And I said, Hooli, how's it going? And I never forget what he said to me. He said, not now, old-timer. But I know that I wasn't the
first. No autographs.
I know that I wasn't the first one that he had in mind. You know, you're never the first to be invited in things like this. I actually saw the list of, he wanted the police superintendent to be here this evening, but
he found out I voted for Trump.
He was passed out somewhere.
Yeah.
I should leave the superintendent alone. I know he's going in for another operation. He's going to get his lips surgically removed from the mayor's ass.
Yes, exactly. Well said. He's boycotting the Trump thing.
But I wasn't the last on the list to be invited. I was. There was one person behind me, Dr. Jonas Walls. And I said, well, at least I beat out a doctor, until I found out that Dr. Jonas Walls is the guy that sells Streetwise in front of the city hall. So thank God I'm here, otherwise everyone would be leaving.
Dr. Jonas Walls.
Be leaving with a copy of Streetwise.
Let's go back a little bit now. You grew up in St. Rita Parish.
St. Rita, Southside.
You and your
Irish
brother
Catholic,
Dennis and your brother Michael. Right.
And my sister Margaret.
And you guys were in St. Rita Parish.
St. Rita, and my sister graduated from Visitation.
No kidding.
A viz girl.
Yeah. I used to pick papers on Garfield Boulevard when I was a kid. Yeah, now, did you go to Rita?
St. Rita.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Dennis go to Rita as well?
Yeah, we all went to Rita.
Okay.
My brother Dennis was the smartest kid in sophomore year for 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you go into the COPS right out of high school?
No, I went to college first. But my brother and I both worked for the FBI, not as agents, but as clerks. And
oh,
then,
I think he, yeah.
And then...
And you were very, you guys were like 19 or 20 when you did that,
and then I went on the police department. I just turned 21.
Yeah.
And I survived for 34 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And now when did you, your nickname was Crash. Is that correct?
Yeah,
because
I was
you were a traffic investigator?
I was in a couple, I was involved in major accident investigation from the investigative side. And also involved in major accident investigation as a bad example. I was driving home one night and a viaduct jumped out in front of me.
How'd that happen, I wonder?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You got to watch out for those things.
Yeah. Now, when they say major accident investigation, that's like on the Dan Ryan and stuff like that, where they...
Fatals and...
Wow.
Like I always say, you saw me when you were dead or wished you were.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, and over 500 fatals,
really?
400 death notifications.
No kidding. So you had to be the one to tell people that?
Yeah, that was part of our job.
Oh, my God.
Deliver the bad news.
What was that like?
Not good.
Yeah.
You know, the a lot of different organizations, Red Cross, Salvation Army, some other organizations, they did studies about what is the best way to make a death notification, and they all came to the same conclusion. There is no best way.
Yeah,
the best way is just to say it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And I imagine if you had a kid or something, that'd be even worse, right?
Right. Yeah. It's the stories are just, very, very sad.
And were you like a... head of investigations or what were...
I was a traffic specialist, team leader in the unit. So I was a state certified accident reconstructionist, graduated from Northwestern University Traffic Institute.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's funny, in the accident reconstruction class, which is the top level class, there's an awful lot of math problems.
Sure. Speed,
you
know, and all that.
You would think, what does a police officer have to do with mathematics? But we did.
How many years did you do that, the investigations?
I was on the job 34 years, and I was in major accident 22.
Oh, no kidding. Most of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long have you been retired now?
I retired in 02.
Oh, okay.
So
you're just hanging out, making a wise cracks now? Is that what keeps you busy?
Making fun.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have four kids and 7 grandkids.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. What's your wife's name?
Suzanne.
Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne.
Suzanne, a nurse.
Oh, is she? God bless her.
Loyola.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful Irish girl.
You know what?
Hines is her maiden name.
Tom sent me his bio. And at the end, it says, born in the USA, Irish by the grace of God. Is that right?
I always thought that was a great line.
It is a great line. It is a great line.
Yeah.
And true.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is.
If you're lucky enough to be Irish, you're lucky enough, right?
Yeah. Blessed with the gift of gab.
Now, how long have you been involved with the... Shannon Rovers and all that.
Shannon Rovers, almost 15 years. To that, the Emerald Society, almost 15 years. And now with the Chicago Police Pipe and Drums, I was a founding member of the Chicago Police Pipe and Drums. We're all Chicago police officers.
Yeah.
And we're having our 20th anniversary party at Hawthorne Racetrack this coming Saturday, 2 p.m.
Oh, no kidding, Saturday.
This Saturday, 2 p.m.
Okay, get out there, gang. Well, this show is on at 7 p.m., but
that's
good to know. We'll put it in our thing in the podcast. So, it's the 20th anniversary of the Chicago Pipes and Drums.
And Drums. I played with the Emerald Society, and a lot of guys did, and we just thought it would be a good idea to have a an organization that's composed of all
cops.
Chicago police. The Emerald Society is their law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
But they're from various different municipalities.
Oh, and this is just Chicago cops.
Right. The Pipes and Drums Chicago is just Chicago.
And is the music all Irish music?
Well, bagpipe music is Irish, Scottish.
You know who's impressed me a lot lately, and he plays the bagpipes, is the Attorney General.
Wasn't that something?
He came out and he played the bagpipes. Was that in Washington at a convention or something?
Yeah, I think he played with the New York.
New York cops?
The New York guys.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
we play with them every year. We go to Quebec City in Canada. We march in their St. Patrick's Day parade a week after all the other major parades. So they invited Chicago police, New York police, Boston police. And now last year, for the first time, Philadelphia. They're at police and fire.
I like the way you say police. That's so Chicago. Police, I'm with the police.
Please.
Okay, so over the years, you've encountered many characters, I'm sure. Any in particular you want to tell us a story about?
What I say, and I did when I was doing the stand-up.
Oh, let's get into that first. They used to have a contest. Right. Chicago's Funniest Cop.
Laugh Factory.
Oh, the Laugh Factory.
It was hosted by Tom Dreesen.
Okay. And a whole bunch of guys would audition.
14 or 15 guys. You got about 5 minutes to get up on stage.
You did stand-up, basically.
See what you got. I was lucky enough to finish first 1 year, second another year.
Yeah.
It was a good time. You know, what I used to say is there are three types of humor.
Yeah.
There's humor, police humor, and Chicago police humor, which is the best way I could tell a lot of stories, but one that kind of describes it. We were in Washington, D.C. for the National Police Officers Memorial. And we went into this bar, Clyde's, that a lot of police hang out in.
That's in Georgetown, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw someone that we had become friendly with, a chief of police of a city in Texas, shall remain nameless, but he called Tom, and I was with my brother, and he said, "Hey, Tom and Denny, come over. I want to introduce you to this guy." He was the special agent in charge of the field office in the city that this guy was from.
Yeah.
So, being a Chicago police officer and never wanting to pass up the opportunity to bust a federal agent's balls, he said to us, "Gee, your parents must really be proud of you guys. You're both Chicago police officers. You're playing in the police band. You're here at the memorial." And I said, "Well, our parents are passed away, but you're right. You know, we learned our work ethic from our father. Our father, every night, 7 days a week, he always dressed very well, always drove a brand new Cadillac, worked all night, came home in the morning. My mother made breakfast." So he said, "Gee, Tom, what did your dad do?" And I said he was a...
Your brother, Denny, told us the exact same story.
Oh, Denny told you that?
Yeah. Yeah. He told us that you used to say that.
Oh, yeah, right. And so...
So you said this to the federal guy.
Yeah, so everyone's laughing. So he says, "Well, I don't think that's funny."
Oh, wow.
He said, "I'm sure your father was a good man."
Oh, God.
"And to use him as a brunt of a joke, I think is very disrespectful."
He said that. Give me a break.
And I said, "Well, you're right. I apologize. It was out of line." So he said, "Now, what did your father really do?" I said, "He was a crack dealer." So he put his drink down and he started walking away. And I said, "Hey, wait a second. Aren't you going to ask what my mother did?"
Yeah.
But anyway, that's...
Oh, that's a good story.
Classic police humor. Chicago police humor.
Yes. Okay. Now, how is the traffic investigative new unit still going?
Yeah, it's still there. I think they absorbed it into the detective division.
Oh, really?
But it's still there. Yeah.
And you said you had 400 death notifications?
Yeah, over 22 years.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Never got easier, did it?
And it ran the gamut from people falling on the floor screaming and people laughing.
Laughing?
Laughing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
Well, that would certainly be enlightening. I mean, you get a kind of, first of all, a gallows humor about it as well, but just kind of...
It's probably the worst because, you know, if you know someone's sick, you know, or they're elderly or whatever, you know, you kind of, in the back of your mind, think, well, you know, a notification of that kind may come.
Yes.
But a traffic accident, it happens so suddenly.
Yeah.
Young people are involved.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's waiting for, I mean, I can tell stories from all night long about, you know, little kids looking out the window.
Where's
waiting
Dad?
For Daddy to come home.
Wow.
And we pull up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
But, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true. And you know, that's God's work to a certain extent. Yes. So God bless you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's something, again, that, you know, people, they don't really think when they think of police work.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the unfortunate things that you have to do.
And then you got to go home and face your kids and everything.
Yeah. It's sad, especially in this day and age, you know, with the, what's happening with people, especially their attitude towards law enforcement.
Yes, it's terrible. The whole culture is crazy, this anti-cop. That's one of the reasons we do this show as well.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Like I always tell people, Mike, we know who our friends are.
Good.
We definitely know who our friends are, and you certainly fit into that category.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I drop your name, if I get pulled over...
Well, the classic story, you know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Mort Saul.
Of course.
The comedian. They asked him, true story, they asked him one time, you know, when you travel around the country, do you ever have any problem getting stopped by the police?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I don't. And they said, why is that? He says, well, when I get out of the car and I take my wallet out, I drop a $10 bill on the ground. And I say, oh, excuse me, officer, I think you dropped that 10. He picks it up and everything's fine. He says, it worked until I got to Chicago. I got stopped on Lakeshore Drive. I took my wallet out and I dropped a 10 on the ground. And I said, excuse me, officer, I think you dropped a 10. And the Chicago guy said, no, I dropped a 20.
Exactly. That's good, Mort Saul. Funny. Now, do you ever want to get back on stage and do stand-up, or are you just kind of, since they don't do the...
Occasionally. I do some things here and there. You know, I used to do a lot of MCs at retirement parties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Retirement parties and stuff.
Do you know
like
Jack
that.
Wright by any...
Oh, yeah, I know Jack.
Oh,
yeah.
Jack's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, Jack was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be on the Skinny and Hooli show with me and Skinny, and we had a segment called What's Wrong with Wright.
Oh, yeah.
And he would come on.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know Jack.
But he does a lot of police retirement dinners and stuff.
Yeah, right. You know, it's something that you really never, when you really think of humor.
Yes.
But one of the things, because it's an emotional release.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if you're not laughing about it, you'll be crying about it.
Exactly. And there is that unique Chicago cop humor as well. It's a little darker, you know.
Right.
A little saltier. And now, what are your kids up to? How old are your kids?
Sheet metal, union sheet metal workers.
Oh, good.
Daughter teacher, another daughter, truck driver.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Good for her. And you have how many grandchildren?
Seven.
Oh, that's great.
Seven grandchildren.
They'll keep you busy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when were you living on the South Side?
Up till...
because you were born there.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Yeah, like they say, have you lived there all your life? not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, my father, South Side. My mother was a North Sider.
Oh, okay.
Married and moved south.
Was your dad a cop?
No, he was a pimp.
I forgot.
How
of course.
Quick, how quick they forget. No, wait, excuse me. He was a crack dealer. I'm sorry. Yeah. But no, he worked for the CTA for 42 years.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Good for him. Was he driving a bus? What was he doing?
No, he never drove a bus or an L. He was in like the clerk type, and then retired at the merchandise mart.
Oh, okay. That's where the
training
headquarters is. And
accident prevention.
Yeah, yeah.
Unit. That's
any other McKennas in your cousins or any cops, any uncles? No.
Me and my brother.
You know, Danny.
It's funny, when I went to the job in 68, there, I think there were three McKennas on the job.
That's all.
Yeah, that's it. Now there's a whole bunch of the names.
Name is becoming more popular. Now, I remember I used to see you guys at the Southside Irish Parade every year, you and Denny. Do you still do that? But if you do it, you're doing it with the Chicago Pipe and Drum Band?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Or the Shannon Rovers.
Oh, you still appear sometimes with the Shannon Rovers?
This year I've been playing for 60 years, 1959 to 2019.
Holy cow! Yeah.
I'm going to keep on doing it until I get it right.
Yeah. 60 years, that's great.
Yeah. Well, one of my expressions is, and it's not mine, but I use it. I said, you don't quit because you're getting old. You get old because you quit.
That's true. Yeah. You know, we used to do a show at the Heritage Center every Thursday night, and the Rovers would rehearse there.
Right.
We'd see Billy McTighe and all those guys.
Yeah, we still rehearse there.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thursday.
Well, they kicked us out of there, so we haven't seen that. It's been there in a while. We were booted out. And I'm bitter about it, I'll admit it. Okay, any final, you know, I wish you had some gigs coming up. We could say, hey, go see Tom McKenna at Zany's or whatever. You're a very entertaining character.
Yeah, we have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the greatest things about being Irish. You're born with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Sometimes, on the police department, you know, you laugh about things that if you weren't laughing, you'd be crying.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me you went to Ireland with your wife. How long ago was that?
That was about 5 years ago.
Oh, really? Okay. And you had the guts to get out and drive on the left-hand side of the road?
Yeah, I know. If I had thought about what I was doing, I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Looking back, and a lot of people say, oh, brother, you did that? You never drove there before? And I said, well, I never thought about it.
When you were investigating accidents, what would you say the percentage of booze would be involved in an accident?
Fatal accidents. Quite a bit.
Oh, really?
I think the statistic is about 33%.
That's all? Okay.
But fatals, especially later at night, it's about 60%.
Yeah, there's an old saying, what was it? If you're out at 3 in the morning, you're either drunk or you're a baker.
Right.
You know? And of course, my mother would have said, nothing good happens after midnight, you know. So
that's right. There's no good story that starts. So I was in this 4 o'clock joint.
Well, I'd beg to. Yeah. I'll bet there's a few that we can't tell on the radio.
Yeah, right.
I was just in Ireland, and a lot of our, you know, I thought they shut all the bars at 11 o'clock, but evidently these people on our tour found places to drink till 4 or 5 in the morning. I don't know how they did it. So where are you living now? What parish are you in now?
I'm in St. Tecla, but I'm a member of Immaculate Conception.
Where's Immaculate Conception's right nearby.
Talcott in Harlem.
Yeah,
right
okay.
Up the expressway.
And St. Tecla is right near there, too.
Yeah, my kids went to St. Tecla.
Okay, yeah. But they're all growing up now, right? Yeah, yeah. None of your kids went into law enforcement, huh?
No, not. And, you know, I always used to tease people because when I'm on the job and all the years I heard people say, oh, I'd never let my kid go into law enforcement. And my line to that was never discourage a good person becoming a police officer because we need good men and women.
Absolutely.
But now, what we talked about earlier, the things that are happening in the attitude of people towards law enforcement, it's really...
It's a thankless job.
I kind of have to say, you know what, if you can find something else to do.
Unless we can change that culture, because it's propagated by the media and the politicians. And
yeah, it's probably the only profession that every single day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, there are negative stories about in the newspaper, on television, on the radio, constantly. I mean, Laquan McDonald thing. That's been daily in the news for years.
Yeah.
And it's, for someone that, you know, I guess young guys coming on or whatever, you know, I mean, I don't even want to get into the suicide problem. Between the police and the military.
Yeah.
Suicides, you know, they're much higher rate than the average population. And one of the reasons.
And even higher in Chicago.
Yeah. And one of the reasons is because of that negative attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, even comments that people don't really think mean anything, and maybe they think they're being humorous.
Yeah.
But it affects people. And again, if you're not strong-willed or don't have the character to take that, it can really hurt you.
You sound like Father Brandt a little bit right now.
Yeah. Well, Dan's a great guy.
He's the chaplain for the police. Yeah, Chicago Police
in,
Force. Yeah.
Fits in. Remarkably well. I mean, my brother Denny was the MC at the retirement for Father Nangle.
Okay.
And that's when I first met Dan Brandt. And I was standing there with my wife, and a guy came up to him and said, "You know, Father, you've got some tough shoes to fill, to replace Father Nangle." You know, he says, "I'm a Lutheran, but I was even considering about converting to Catholicism because of Father Nangle." You know, he said, "Well, did you convert?" He says, "No, I didn't." He says, "Okay, nice talking to you." And he walked away, and Dan said, "Friggin' Lutherans."
I've seen him on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get him on the show.
Oh, he hasn't been in?
No. Yeah. They play it. There's a tape on YouTube. He's in New York.
Yes, I've seen that.
Well, there's a newswoman there who's just a knockout, kind of a Giselle Fernandez type, and he says, he acknowledges her in the crowd, and he goes, "By the way, I'm in room 315.
Oh, yeah.
He says,
I've run into him, you know, when, you know, he wasn't in the clerical garb, and
yeah.
I start talking, and I said, "That's Father Dan Brandt, the police chaplain," and they go, that guy's a priest? Are you kidding me? I said, "Yeah.
If you're listening, Father Dan, we want you on the show."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Get on here.
Okay. Well, Tommy, thanks so much
for
dropping
great
by.
Here,
would you come back again?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you've been listening to the great Tom McKenna, funniest cop in Chicago, also known as Crash McKenna. And we salute you. Keep doing what you're doing. God bless you for all your service.
Thank you. I appreciate
the people
that.
Of Chicago. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back after these messages on the Hibernian Radio Show. Thank you, Tom. God bless you, pal.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks to Tom McKenna, also his brother Denny, for coming around and suggesting his brother Tom. Great interview with Crash McKenna, and hope you all enjoyed that. And for the rest of the lockdown, we'll be going to the vault each week. But we're going to be doing some new stuff, and we have a lot of new material in this show this week. So I want you to stick around for the whole show. Interesting thing that, obviously, like everybody else, we're wondering about masks. And, you know, and for a while I got away with it, but then I'd go to the Jewel and I'd be getting the fisheye from everybody. Where's your mask? So I went to my doctor, Dr. Brian Igo, who did the eye surgery on me over a month ago and was my follow-up. And I walk in the office and everybody's got masks on. I said, you know, I brought my own mask. Let me show it to you. And I had watched this video on YouTube where somebody made a mask out of a pair of jockey shorts. I thought it was pretty funny. And Dr. Igo's assistant, Chrissy, I said, look, here's my mask. And I pull out a pair of jockey shorts and I put them over my head and put my head in the leg. And she's looking at me like, what the hell is with this guy? Anyway, she said, I'll give you a mask. So she gave me a mask. And I've been using it ever since. So thanks to Chrissy and Dr. Brian Igo for helping me out with that. But everybody... I was with my son Patty yesterday, and everybody's, you got to have them now. You can't go into a store. You walk into a store, everybody's got them. But you say, where do you get them? And they go, well, just get one. So the best thing that happened to me was my wife Mary decided to make some masks. And she made one for my son Patty and one for his wife Haley and for the grandkids, Charlotte and Mikey. And she made them out of old shoulder pad things that women have in their blouses or whatever. They're the perfect size. They go right over your nose and mouth, and she did sewed the thing. Pretty cool. So thanks to Mary for doing that. And I also saw somebody making one out of a sweat sock. I'll get into that next week if we're still in this situation. But the whole thing is a mask. But the other big thing is washing your hands. Now, there's an old adage that in order to wash your hands properly, you got to sing happy birthday twice, the song, the whole song, while you're scrubbing your hands and in between your fingers and thumbs and all that. And I guess that's good advice, but you get bored with that. There are two guys. Now, there's a new publication, well, not relatively new publication, called Block Club. It's online. It's run by my friend Seamus Toomey, who is the former Metro editor of the Sun-Times. And I get his stuff every when they've been covering this coronavirus thing really great. And it's much better than the Tribune, which tends to lean a little bit to the left. I don't care for that. Or the Sun-Times. So thanks to Seamus, there's a great story about these two young guys. Chicago engineers invented a device that teaches you how to wash your hands properly. Now you think, oh, yeah, right. Well, they did. I mean, and they're 23 and 25. They're both engineering students at Northwestern, and they've been building a device for sinks that teaches people how to wash their hands properly while collecting data on hand washing. Their goal is to get the device into schools in low-income communities on the South Side and then scale up from there, but they're saving lives. And what the machine does is it measures the time you're doing it, and there's a timer on it, and they've also figured out how to put ads on it and everything. But here's how the guy got the idea. He asked his mom, how else does anybody get an idea? Almar, one of the designers, he ended up pitching it, but he got it from his mom. And it went from a nice thing and was really going to start making a change to, oh boy, this is when the virus hit. So they had to kick it into high gear, and now you can get one for roughly $75. But hopefully the more they make, the price will go down. They want to get it in every school in America, probably smart, and probably every hospital. But supposedly, if people were just washing their hands better, there'd be a lot less fatalities from the flu and obviously coronavirus and everything else. So kudos to those young men who came up with this. Their names are Alomar and Allende. But they're engineering students. Hey, engineers are always guys like that. And thanks to Seamus Toomey and Block Club Chicago for putting that story. Check it out. Block Club Chicago is a great facility and source for neighborhood information. So thanks to them and thanks to Seamus. Shout out, Seamus. So now, what are we going to do? Oh, I think we're going to do the obits. So I have some obits. And interesting that I got a funny story for you, actually. When I was interviewing Bob Sheehy, I was getting a bad signal on the first go-round on taping the call. And I said, we got to stop. We got to start over again. And he obviously walked to another part of the room or whatever, and it sounded better. And I said, yeah, you stepped in. It sounded like you stepped into a dead zone or something. I said, hey, dead zone. Gee, get it? He just kind of rolled his eyes. I couldn't see him, but I'm sure he was rolling his eyes. Anyway, I thought that was kind of amusing. No, Undertaker walked into a dead zone. Okay, so, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, hey, holy who die. Well, I got a great couple of obits from my old pal PGOD. And here's the first one. It's a guy named James Hardigan, 95, of Barrington. Jim was an icon in the aviation industry, the former chairman, president, and CEO of United Airlines. He was born in Brooklyn, New York, as the oldest boy of 10 children. Jim took on the responsibility for his family at just 12 years old when his father passed away unexpectedly while still attending school. Jim worked assorted jobs and became a champion bicycle racer with the Empire City Wheelmen, and appearing in news articles as the youngster Jimmy Hardigan, and earning prizes at the Velodrome in Coney Island and road races throughout the Northeast. And he figured out how to make money for his family. He used to tell stories about his relative's home, Nagatara, which is Hardigan spelled backwards. That's for you, Neil Hardigan, out in Long Island. And with an irrepressible Irish gift for storytelling, he'd bring the city's history, city of Brooklyn history, to life for his children. Jim, over the course of his 46-year career with United Airlines, his highest priorities were passenger safety and customer service. He's got a great obit. Check it out if you can, if you have time. James J. Hardigan, 95, God rest his soul. Also, Mary Kathleen Gleason, her own name was Cahill, passed away peacefully in her home, beloved wife of the late James Michael Gleason, and the mother of Sheila, Noreen, John, Michael, Kay, and the late Patsy. She was a native of Ballyhahill County, Limerick, Ireland. Mary braved new surroundings at a young age to make a life in America. She was a proud registered nurse. Mary cared deeply for others as she did for her beloved family. God rest her soul. She was a nurse. She was a first responder. Mary Kathleen Gleason. Also, and there's a guy who died on his birthday. I couldn't believe it. Bernie Hinks. He was born and died on the same date. He was 64, loving husband of Marge, loving father of Brendan, Maggie, Jack, and Kara. And he was waked at Sheehy's, where all the right people go. God rest his soul, Bernie Hinks. And finally, Kathleen Carmody. She was welcomed into heaven by her loving parents, Catherine and Bernard Brophy, as well as her brother Bernie and her sister Mary Ann. Kathleen Carmody, beloved wife of Robert Carmody, mother of Karen, Sharon, and Colleen. Kathleen's husband and children look forward to a time when everyone can be together to celebrate her life. See, you can't have a funeral or a party or anything. Well, that's what we discussed with Bob Sheehy. So there's going to be an awful lot of wake parties coming up when this thing's all over. And I can tell you, I know some people who would... Skinny will be all over that. It's like going to 20 wakes in one night. So let's close up the crypt, Billy. And We'll be right back after these messages from our friends and maybe a little bit of Hooli Town. So stick around.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal Hooli. Thanks. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Carol Ann Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy.
So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Section across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooley Town.
Hooley Town.
Welcome to Hooley Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooley Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, we're in Hooley Town now. Things are different here. Just like Ireland. Things are different here, Sean. We're in Ireland now. So here we are in Hooley Town. And, you know, this whole coronavirus thing makes every day feel like Hooley Town. So bizarre and weird. Look out the window, there's nobody there. You know, I miss my grandkids. I miss my own kids. I miss the pubs. I got to tell you that. Lizzie's. I miss Lizzie's big time. I miss doing the show at Lizzie's with a nice big pint in front of me. But it'll all come back. We'll get back to all of that. But in the meantime, Hooley Town, I didn't want to waste my time trying to find stuff about celebrities, at least not this week. There's enough crap out there as it is about how they're mad at Trump and everything. So I do have a joke, though, for Hooley Town. And before the joke, I just want to remind everybody, hey, tell your friends about the show. Go to the podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast at hibernianradio.org or listen every Saturday night from 7 to 8 at WSBC 1240 on your AM dial. And now, then right immediately after that is the Hooley's Hooley Show. You'll get a kick out of that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in Hooley Town, the joke. A woman was having a daytime affair while her husband was at work. One rainy day, she was in bed with her young boyfriend when to her horror, she heard her husband's car pull into the driveway. Oh my God, hurry, grab your clothes and jump out the window. My husband's home early, she said. Can't jump out of the window. It's raining out there. If my husband catches us in here, he'll kill us both. He's got a hot temper and a gun. So the rain is the least of your problems. So the boyfriend scoots out of bed, grabs his clothes, and jumps out the window. As he ran down the street in the pouring rain, he quickly discovered he had run right into the middle of the town's annual marathon. Maybe Skinny was in it. So he started running along beside the others, about 300 of them. Being naked, with his clothes tucked under his arm, he tried to blend in as best he could. After a little while, a small group of runners who had been watching him with some curiosity jogged closer. "Do you always run around in the nude?" one asked. "Oh, yes," he replied, gasping for air. It feels so wonderfully free." Another runner moved alongside. "Do you always run carrying your clothes with you under your arm?" "Oh, yes," our friend answered breathlessly. "That way, I can get dressed right at the end of the race and get in my car to go home." And then a third runner cast his eyes a little lower and asked, "Do you always wear a condom when you run?" "Only when it's raining." Thanks, everybody. So great being with you again. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Sing happy birthday twice. I'll see you next week with a great new show. God bless you all.
Well, I look down the road and I wondered, yes, I wondered, oh, Lord, I wondered. Well, I look down the road and I wondered, just to see how far I was from God. I started walking. I just buckled.
rolled up my shoes.